Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. A couple announcements as we begin. If you look on the back there, there's an exciting little bit of information about that benefit that we worked at, the Isabel Fox benefit. And they are very pleased to report that $7,950 was raised. Wow, just a praise the Lord for that. Just so thankful that that turned out so well. Also, $220 were collected for kind of a special birthday gift for her. So really over $8,000 was raised that Saturday for Isabel, for her medical expenses and medical needs. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Also, just a reminder here now, the ladies, there is a sign-up sheet there on the kitchen door for a program that they're going to have here on May the 13th for all the ladies. It says, come and have a treat. And so I think they have a little program planned and just a get-together for all the ladies in the church and as invite others as well, I think. So just need to sign up there on the kitchen door so they have an idea of how many people will be coming to that. So I hope that you take advantage of that. That's not far off, really. Think about that. So you need to sign up quick and make sure you get your name on there. Let's see. I will say there is still maybe a little bit of time for the summer camp. I know I've announced that several times. We took the information down from the bulletin board, but if you still would like information about that, yeah, just please see me after church. Also, just a big thank you. I know Travis is going to share as well, but just a big thank you for our church work day. Maybe as you came up the hill this morning, seeing the building, just how nice it looks, the grounds, and even the inside. We're just so thankful. We had a really successful work day here yesterday, and a lot of people showed up, which was a big help for Travis as he was organizing that. Travis, do you want to share anything? Thank you, Travis, for your leadership in that, for your team. And it really went well. We all worked together good. We even had a bird visit the sanctuary at one point yesterday to help out. But fortunately, we got him out before he had any accident in our sanctuary. But we had a great day, and a lot got accomplished, and it looks really good. And we're just thankful for everyone that came out to help with that. So Thank you to each one. Really appreciate that. Okay, are there any other announcements? Yeah.
Because in this bulletin, the flowers are put in here by me today, and that is wrong.
John, your flowers look beautiful. Well, maybe I got mixed up. I think I was the one in charge of looking at the names on the list. I must have got confused. You blame me, John. But Janet Bell is the one that brought them. Thank you for making that clear, Janet.
It's not surprising that John got confused.
Yeah. They are beautiful, though. And so we really appreciate that, Janet. And John, we'll give you partial credit. Just partial, not whole, but partial credit. They are beautiful, though. I've had so many comments on the flyers when they came in. So, okay, any other announcements? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come once again together as your church, joined here by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're seeking to do as your church is called to do, to worship you, to lift up your name, to sing praises to you. And Lord, to become more like your Son, Jesus. We want to be more of Jesus and less of our old selves. Lord, help us to do that. Even as we come, Lord, we offer ourselves again as a sacrifice to you. Lord, we surrender our old life And Lord, we seek to be born anew, again and again, in that new life which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we worship You here this morning, and we praise Your name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. Found this inside of your bulletin. It's coming from Romans 8, portions of Romans 8. It says, For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Let's turn our hymnals to page 387. Oh, to be like Thee. Page 387.
Thank you.
I'd like to just take a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and praises. A few names I want you to continue to have on your prayer list, if you would. Would you continue to be praying for Billy Ware as he is recovering now? I think he's on his second week from surgery. He's still recovering, and he's doing well. I talked to him yesterday, and he was outside getting some sun and just starting to feel a little bit more like himself. But he asked for your continued prayer for him and really appreciates all the prayers and the answered prayers that he's feeling. So we just praise the Lord for that. Also for Charlotte, why don't you just continue to be in prayer for her and for her recovery from a fall. Also, Nancy Bailey is another name I want you to continue to have on your prayer list. Nancy was back in the hospital this past week again. She's home now. They're trying to do some things to get her medicines just right. I think she may have some complications from that, but we're just praying that they'll get that sorted out and that Nancy will start feeling better. She wants to come back so badly and be here with all of us, but she just needs to get herself well. And so appreciate the prayers for that. Megan?
New address somewhere?
We'll have to get that. Yeah, I have it, and I can put it out there on the bulletin. In fact, I might. Also, would you be in prayer for Lee? Lee Landis was in the hospital a little bit last week. She's fighting kidney stones again, unfortunately, for her. That's something she's been plagued by for the last little bit here. So she's home, and she's recovering from that. She's had a little infection, so they put her on an antibiotic, and Alan told me this morning when he came in, she's doing a little bit better, but still fighting that. So, Alan, our prayers are with Lee this morning, and certainly we miss her here, but we're just praying she gets well soon, and pray that she doesn't have to deal with these kidney stones anymore. So.
Yeah, she has time with that.
Yeah.
She wanted me to thank everybody for prayers.
Yeah.
And keep her in your prayers.
Right. Just pray that she gets well and gets feeling like herself soon. Also, Alan, we're going to be in prayer for you. Alan shared with me, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that he's going to be having hip surgery, hip replacement. And so, Alan, we'll be praying for you. Only 2 weeks away is what Alan told me, which is pretty quick. So they put him to the top of the list. Alan, either it's real bad or you're real special, one of the two. But we're glad that you're getting it done, and we're just praying that that surgery will go well and help you with your pain also. Also, if you would, keep Kenny Morgan's sister in your prayers. Kenny's sister is going to be having surgery. Her name's Kathy, on her neck and her spine this coming week. And so we'll just be in prayer for her and pray that that surgery goes well. Also, celebration for my family today. Today is Isaac's birthday, and he turned 17, and so we praise the Lord for that. Unfortunately, Deborah said he woke up this morning and his ear was in extreme pain, so they're headed to the doctor for an earache. So that's not a good thing to have an earache on your birthday, but we'll certainly try to celebrate as best we can with him later on today. And we're excited that our little boy's getting pretty big, 17. Okay, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Joanne? That's right.
And she's experienced a lot of dizziness, too. Just not feeling very good.
Okay.
And then I got a joy.
Yes.
It's a joy to see your dad.
Yes, I was going to say, absolutely. And he needs to be on our prayer list, too. Continue to pray for my dad, Dana. But Gail, she's having some vertigo, and my dad has had some of that, too. So just pray for Gail and a potential surgery coming up for her. Be praying for her for that.
They're going to do another MRI.
Okay.
Sure, it's on the
Yes.
Been having time this past week.
Thank you, Joanne. Debbie?
Natalie and Nicole Dodge is the family from Stanton that had the little girl that's been going back and forth or has been staying at St. Jude's.
Yeah.
She had her last treatment. She's finished.
Okay.
And I just want to praise the Lord for her making it through all the treatments. It was a very trying time.
Yep.
And ask for continued prayers that the medicine worked for her because she's 2 years old.
Yep. Natalie. Yeah, continue to pray for her and praise the Lord for good results there.
And also put Brittany Gibbons on your prayer request. She wrecked this past week. She is an aide over at North River. And she went home.
Yeah.
And she had some pretty serious head injuries.
Okay. So Brittany Gibbons. If you would, put Brittany Gibbons on your prayers, in your prayers this week for recovery from a bad car accident. Other prayer requests or praises? With that, I'm going to have our ushers come forward now to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Let's share together in the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up those prayer requests to you this morning. Lord, we just thank you that you're such a good God. Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers, you answer our prayers. Lord, we thank you that as we turn our hearts to you, Lord, you heal our hearts. You strengthen our lives. Lord, you give us the fortitude in life that we need to take on the big things, to take on even the small things. Lord, we thank you that you are always with us, always by our side. Lord, I pray that none of us ever feel alone, never feel neglected or forsaken. Because, Lord, you are there. We just have to be willing to open our eyes to see it and our ears to hear it. Lord, I pray that those upon our prayer list feel that way today, that you are there by their side. You are with them. You are helping them in their time of need, even as you help us. Lord, we praise you. We praise you here this morning for who you are in our life. Lord, we thank you that we get the opportunity to come and worship you like this. Lord, it's such a blessing to us, and we pray it's a blessing to you. Lord, bless our offering, I pray, this morning as we bring forth our tithes. Lord, we just pray you continue to use Moscow to declare your good news. Lord, give us the courage we need to preach the good news, to proclaim it to all around us. Lord, we give you praise for that. Bless us, I pray, as we turn to your word. We seek understanding of how we can be more like your son Jesus, less like our old self. Lord, we want to be more like Jesus. Help us to do that, I pray, as we turn our hearts to you. Bless us in this. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All righty. Our children's church and youth Sunday school can be dismissed. Thank you to all those that are helping with that. And if you're with me, I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 John. Remember, we're going through a series of sermons. This is the third sermon in this series, which is the basics of Christianity. Maybe I should have called it Back to Basics. That would have been a good title for the series sermon, Back to Basics, or the Basics of Christianity. We've covered some points that kind of what I've been saying is just the basics of maybe a newborn Christian's question of what does God want from me? What does God desire? What am I supposed to be doing? What is that thing that God wants me to be doing that He's pleased with? And so we talked about believing, didn't we? We're supposed to be a believing people. We're supposed to put our faith and trust in the Lord. Not to trust in ourselves, not in our own understanding, the Bible says. We're not to lean on our own understanding, but we're to trust in God, aren't we? And that's what believing is. It's having faith. It's believing that what God says He will do. And so we're supposed to have that faith within us. God will answer our prayers. There's a difference in believing. I think that God can answer prayers, and then God will answer prayers. Do you think that's a real distinction? So many times in our Christian life, we believe that God can. The problem with our belief is that we fail to believe that He will. Isn't that interesting? Very true, isn't it? A lot of us have enough faith to believe that God can. The faith that God wants us to have is not only that He can, but that He will. Now, that's where the disciples a lot of time were getting in trouble. They knew He could. They just didn't believe He would. And so true with us today. We need to believe not only that God can, but that He will, won't He? That He will. That if it's in God's will, He will answer those prayers. Number two, we kind of talked about how we're supposed to belong as well. We belong, don't we? We belong. We're members of the body of Christ. That's universal, isn't it? It's not just your members here at Moscow, but you as believers are members of a universal body of Christ. And that is worldwide, isn't it? For God so loved, it didn't say Augusta County there, did it? For God so loved Moscow? No. For God so loved the world. And so that's worldwide, isn't it? Jesus died for us here. He died for those in Africa, continents around the world. God died for all people, didn't he? And we are a part of that body of Christ. We're different, aren't we? We talked about. There's diversity in our group. There's diversity in the body. But Jesus, well, Paul talks about that diversity is for a good thing, right? It's a blessing. The reason that we're different is first of all, spiritually, God has blessed us spiritually different, hasn't he? You have different gifts than I have. I seen that in when we were in here working on Saturday. There's those that have different gifts than I have. Some that can do things that I can't do. That's wonderful, isn't it? We got a whole lot more accomplished. Clark's an excellent plumber. And me, not so much. I'm a good helper. But it takes this diversity of gifts to accomplish the work at the church. We all have different gifts. And God has gifted us that way. He's spiritually gifted us that way. Talents that we have. When I think of gifts, spiritual gifts, they're not natural. I think that when we've been spiritually gifted, there are spiritual gifts that we have within the body that are supernatural. And I can testify to that because let me tell you, friends, I am not a preacher. I don't have the talents to be a preacher. I don't have the wisdom to be a preacher. I think that God has gifted me with the ability to be a preacher. That's it. And that means I can't boast in myself, can I? I can't come in here and say, oh, look at me. Look how wonderful my talents are that I could preach a message. No, really. Without the gifts of Jesus, the spiritual gifts that God has called me into the church to be a preacher teacher, I wouldn't be standing here. I believe that 100%. I know it. If you knew me before I was a preacher, you'd say the same thing too. Can I get an amen on that? That was a little too strong. No, it wasn't. You believe it too, don't you? You believe it too. Listen, you've got gifts that the Lord has given you to accomplish the mission of the church. God has given you gifts. Go to the Bible and look. 1 Corinthians, it goes through the list of what those gifts are. The gift of giving. The gift of prayer. Sometimes I'll go and visit with the ladies' shut-ins and they'll say, I don't know what I can do for the church anymore. They feel awful that they can't come and be a part of the body. They can't come and serve in that way. You know what I tell them? Pray. God has given you the ability to pray here. That's your gift. Use it. A little Nellie Corridor used to pray for this church. She was so sad to see Moscow was dwindling away. She's 101 years old. And I remember going and visiting with her. And she said, I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for Moscow. And I would be able to come back and tell her the good news of how her prayers are being answered. And she was so happy. Her face would smile from ear to ear of all the good things that God is doing. And she was praying. That was what God had given her a gift to do. You have been gifted with something spiritual that you can serve the body of Christ. I might preach last week's sermon over again. I don't know. We're together. We're one body, aren't we? We're the body of Christ. There's diversities, but the diversities among us benefit us all. We should celebrate our diversity, shouldn't we? There should be no competitive spirit within the church. And let me tell you, friends, in some churches, there is a competitive spirit. And that's the spirit of Satan. That has nothing to do with Christ, nor the Holy Spirit. There is no competition of who's got greater gifts. Paul talks a lot about that. He talks about how he was gifted. But there was no competition within the church. There was not a spirit of competition. There shouldn't be a spirit of competition within the church. We're a diverse body. And the benefits are for the whole body. Notice the whole body, not us personally. Sometimes people get into service. I think this happens a lot in public service, doesn't it? Sometimes they get in for the right reasons. Sometimes it happens to preachers too. They'll get in for the right reasons, serving, and then it becomes more about them than it does about God. We watched a little movie that was playing down here at Bridgewater at Sipe Center. It's called Jesus Revolution. I don't know if you got a chance to see that yet. We watched it for $5. You can't beat that. I don't know if they're still playing it, but you should go. And in that movie, it's the story of Chuck Smith, who he is responsible for the ministry of Calvary Chapel. I don't know if you've ever seen a Calvary Chapel before. I think there's one in Charlottesville. It's probably about the closest one to us. But back in the 60s, this kind of the love revolution, sexual revolution and all that, Chuck seen that there was a group of kids looking for love. And he said they just need to find the love of Jesus. They're looking in all the wrong places. The love of Christ is what they need. And he started out his ministry with another fella who was a hippie. And this fella at one point in the movie starts to become more about him than it does about Christ. And that's a woe unto me moment when it's more about me. The diversity of gifts are for the benefit of the whole body, not for any one of us personally. We're not to seek self, are we? We're to die to self, is what the Bible says. We're to crucify the flesh, is what the Bible says. It's not supposed to be about any one of us. It's about Christ and about His Spirit in which we serve. Now, today we're kind of moving on here into the third sermon of our series. We believe, belong, and then today's word is become. To become. You kind of know where I'm headed with that already, don't you? We're to become like Christ. Christ's likeness. And I want you to look here with me, 1 John chapter 2. Just one verse here I'm going to read, because one verse says enough. It says, "He who says he abides in him," not speaking of Jesus there, right? Who abides in him, who's a Christian. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now that's Christ's likeness. That's God saying that he wants you to become like his son Jesus. That's what God wants. You think, what does God want from me? He wants you to become just like his son Jesus. He's the example that God gives us. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, God loves you so much. And we know that's true. He died for us. He loves you just the way you are. And that's true. But He loves you way too much to leave you in that way. God's not satisfied with leaving you in the state in which He found you. His desire is to grow you, to strengthen you, to transform you into something greater, into something better. Amen? He's wanting to transform you into the image of His Son, Christ Jesus. God loves you, but He loves you way too much for you to stay that the way you are. God wants you to change. Some people don't like to hear that. God wants you to change. And He wants you to be transformed through the power of His Holy Spirit. He wants you to die to the old life. And He wants you to put on the new life, is what the Bible says. That's kind of the way it phrases it. Taking off the old life. Crucifying the old life. Being born again into the new life through Christ. Listen, God didn't die on a cross. He didn't suffer His Son to die for you, so that you could continue on living the old sinful life. What benefit would that be? To send His own Son so that you could just continue on living in sin? God forbid. God wants to draw us from sin, doesn't He? He's saved us from sin, not saved us to sin. And so there should be a desire to separate ourselves from the old life of sin. to seek to put on a new life, a life that seeks to please God, a life of righteousness, a life of holiness in Christ. Let me ask you a question. Have you started to become like Christ in your life? Is that what you're seeking? I pray so. Because that's what God desires from you. I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, what's the next step for me? I'm supposed to be being made into the image of Christ. Not my old carnal self, but this new image that I'm supposed to be in Christ. That's what our verse says today. Notice there again, he who abides in him, he's a Christian, that we are to walk also as he walked. Jesus is our example. Jesus is our model. Jesus is the pattern, the blueprint to which we are to pattern our lives. God wants every believer to be just like his son Jesus, to walk just like his son walked. Now, are you walking as Jesus walked? It's a good question, isn't it? Some of us might answer that, well, it depends on what day it is. It's not a good answer, though, is it? Should be every day, right? Every day should be we are walking in a way which is like Christ. But a lot of times, it just depends on the day. If it's a good day, then yeah, you might say, well, okay, I probably looked and imaged Christ. But if it's a hard day, maybe we resort back to our old ways. Maybe our language sounds more like our old unsaved self. Maybe our attitude starts to look like our old unsaved self. It's just, the old man is right below the surface, isn't it? I'm supposed to be suppressing and crucifying that old self through Christ. But if I get my eyes off of Jesus just long enough, guess what comes floating back to the surface of my life? My old self. It's like a starved dog that's trying to stay alive. And if I give it just enough room, it'll come right back up. We have to be crucifying the old man, putting to death. God's given us the example of Christ. And we're supposed to be walking as he has walked. We are to be living our life as a mirrored reflection of Jesus, seeking to treat others as Christ treated others, seeking to live an upright, sinless life, even as Jesus was sinless. Are we seeking and be seeking the things that always please the Father, even as Jesus sought to always please the Father in all that he did? This is what God calls us to. A holy life. A sinless life. A righteous life. A life defined by grace and love and mercy and long-suffering and humility and service and compassion and kindness. Boy, don't you think this is the message that the world needs? Maybe we're sitting here thinking, yeah, preach it. If we could just get the message beyond the church. We could just get the multitudes to hear this. A life of modesty, of compassion, of service, of kindness, of love, of grace, of long-suffering. There's a big one today, isn't it? So many people are short-tempered today. I read a story in the news here just recently where a woman, and I guess she was traveling with some of her friends. They were looking for some house for a friend of theirs at a home. They had the address. They got the address mixed up. Turned into a man's home. And he came out with a gun and shot a couple times. It hit the young girl, killed her. Said there was no words exchanged. They just happened to pull into the wrong driveway. You're hearing more and more of this type of crazy stuff today. People are so short-tempered. So short-tempered. Jesus, hey, God's long-suffering, isn't he? Well, it's a good thing God isn't short-tempered. He'd have squashed us a long time ago, wouldn't he? But God is long-suffering. He's long-suffering. God is humble. He wants us to be humble. wants us to have a life of service and modesty, a life defined by love. These are the things that God wants from us. And it's the message that the world needs to hear, message we need to hear. God is not asking you to be Jesus. He's just asking you to be like Jesus. You hear that? He's not asking you to be Jesus. He's asking you to be like Jesus. Now, some will say that's a tall order, which it is, isn't it? It is. It is a tall order to be like God's Son. It's sometimes intimidating to think about in our Christian life that God seeks perfection. God seeks holiness. This Christ-likeness can be a discouragement, I think, to some. But I want to give you two reasons this morning why we don't fret when it comes to becoming like Jesus. Two reasons here of why it's not something that's so intimidating to us. First of all, Christ-likeness is a process. It's a process. No Christian is ever born a fully mature believer. And sometimes I think we put more pressure on ourselves than is needed or due. Christianity and our Christian life is a process of growing, isn't it? No baby is ever born completely mature, are they? If they were, that was going to be one painful birth for a woman. It's not natural. Now, unfortunately, some children never grow up. Now, that's a problem, isn't it? You desire for your children to grow, to mature. And so it is with our life in Christ. God desires for us to grow up, to be mature. But our Christ-likeness is not something that is we just do it once. It's something that's a process. Much of it happens with the passing of time. Because with the passing of time comes this growth, which just comes through experience. Just through living your Christian life. You experience things, don't you? You've experienced things. Should work the same way in your marriage, too. Your marriage, as you experience things together, it should strengthen your marriage because that experience gives you that growth, growing together even. And so it is with our Christian life. We grow as time expires and we experience things together. Now, you think I might be just coming up with this on my own, but I'm not. Look right down here at verse 12. I told you I'm not smart enough to preach this stuff. I'm not smart enough to come up with my own. I'm just preaching the Bible. Look right down at verse 12 there. Just move down a little bit. John's talking about these things. He says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Then it goes on, verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Now notice there's kind of three categories that John says he's writing to. You have those that are little children, right? The childlike. Then you have the young adults that are listed there as well. And then you have those mature fathers. You got little children, you have fathers, and you have young men. And so he's using this not to say he's writing to children and to he's dividing Christians up into these stages. That there's this childlike Christian stage that we all go through. That would be kind of this being born again. That's kind of the first stage. Really, when it comes to spiritual maturity, it has really nothing to do with age, necessarily. There are a lot of older Christians that unfortunately are very childlike in their faith. And then I've met some very young Christians that are very mature in their faith. Age really doesn't have anything to do with it here. But there is a process, and there is this first stage of maturing, which is this childlike Christian stage. And I think this is kind of the unlearned believer, the undisciplined believer. You know, when you start out in your Christian faith, you don't know everything, do you? You don't know all the scriptures. You don't know necessarily all the tenets of the faith. But you're learning. You're seeking. You're growing. You're like a small babe in Christ. We're childlike in our understanding of salvation. And especially childlike in our discipline, our Christian disciplines. But as we grow, we become more mature. I think a childlike believer is kind of defined by two things. First is their maturity of understanding. You might say theological understanding. And second is the amount of carnality that remains in a person's life. The amount of carnality that still remains in a person's life. Ask yourself, how much carnality is still in your life? You know, I'm talking about the flesh. The old life. How much of the old life, how much of your old self is still left in you? And that gives you some sign of where you're at in this maturity of being a Christian. Are you childlike? Now, Paul talks about this. Paul talks to this in to the Corinthians church. He says, "Brethren, when I wrote to you, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as babes in Christ." Here's this first childlike Christianity that they were experiencing. "I fed you milk and not with solid food," he says, "for until now you were not able to receive it." You can't feed a baby a steak, can you? You're going to run into a whole lot of trouble if you do. Child will choke. They can't. What does a baby eat? Baby food. And that's what Paul was saying to the church. I wanted to preach to you the real meaty things of the Scripture, the real theological deep things, but I couldn't do it because you're drinking milk. You're drinking milk. I could only feed you milk because of the carnality. Notice here it was the carnality that he says. But you're carnal. You're a carnal people. I wanted you to receive it, but you couldn't. He says, "And not even till now you are still not able, for you are carnal." 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 2. Hebrews 5, 13 through 14. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a baby, it says, without experiencing and applying the word about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose facilities have been trained by continuous exercise to distinguish good from evil. Boy, the Bible talks about this, doesn't it? There are a lot of Christians today that never get past this first stage. They receive Christ, and that's it. For them, that's enough. What a sad state that is. Well, I'm so glad that Isaac is growing up into a nice young man, 17 today. I'd be so sad if he remained a baby. We're pleased with our children when we reach those milestones, aren't they? As they grow, they mature. Isaac was a baby. He drank milk. But then he moved on to bigger food. Then he started to walk, or crawl first, and then walk. And then he continued to grow, rode a bike, drove a vehicle. These are wonderful milestones, aren't they? Listen, God is looking for milestones in your Christian faith. He wants to see you grow up. He wants to see you mature. He wants to see the carnality in your life to be removed and for the real spiritual things, the maturing to take place. God wants to see you grow. Now, notice here, that's the first childlike Christian stage. The second is the young adult stage. I would say many Christians are in that. I'd say probably more Christians are in this stage, I hope. Verse 13, "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one." Verse 14, "I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God aids in you. You have overcome the wicked one." Note, These Christians are the ones that are ready to take on the fight for Jesus. They've moved beyond the milk, and now they're moved to a place where they're ready to fight the good fight. They're taking on the enemy of Satan. And he's speaking about these believers here that have matured. They've overcome the lies of Satan. They've come to stand strong in their faith. And God's word abides in them. For this group, Christianity is about fighting. Not with each other necessarily, but fighting the lies of Satan. Boy, don't we need that today. The lies of Satan are destroying America. And we need the truth. And we need those warriors, those Christian warriors out there fighting the good fight. It's important. I believe a lot of churches are made up of these first two categories of Christians. The very immature and those that are ready to fight. Notice, though, there's another stage here. And that's the mature Christian stage. These are recognized as fathers. As fathers. Don't you think that's interesting that they called them fathers? And these are those mature Christians. I would say they are reproductive Christians. They're reproducing. They are making other Christians. They are evangelizing. They're preaching the Word of God. And they have a heart for the lost. And that's a mature believer. You get to the stage of where your heart aches, your heart dies and hurts and burns for the lost that you see around you, and that you know you have the truth, the good news of Christ that could save them from eternal punishment and hell. When you reach the maturity of where your heart aches for them, like Christ ached for us, He come into Jerusalem, and what's it say? That He wept. He wept over Jerusalem. Why did He weep over Jerusalem? Because He knew there were those there that were going to reject Him. And the punishment of that was eternal separation from God forever. It was hellfire. And Jesus' heart ached for the lost. Now that's a mature Christian. When we have that compassion within us, that we're not just satisfied here to talk about fighting the devil or the carnality of our life, but we actually have a desire to go out from the church and to evangelize, that is when we reach maturity. And that's the type of Christian that God wants us to be. He wants us to grow up, to have that heart that desires others to receive Jesus even as we have. Unfortunately, the church tends to stay in the first two categories. We're satisfied that we're saved. That's enough. That's not enough. That's not reaching our full maturity in Christ's likeness, is it? God has called us to preach, proclaim the good news to those that are unsaved. Friends, we have to mature to have a heart that desires to share the good news with those that are lost. That's the mature Christian. That's the type of Christ-likeness that God desires for us to have. Lastly, and I'll just end on this, Christ-likeness is a process. Christ-likeness is also a partnership. You don't do this alone. Some people are thinking, well, I got to come up with all this stuff myself. No. Remember what Jesus taught in John 15? Remember what He said? He said, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And all you have to do, He said, to bear fruit is to abide in Me. That's all a branch has to do. A branch don't have to dig down in the soil and try to produce all the nutrients that it needs to produce the fruit. All the branch needs to do is abide. And that's what we're to do. God doesn't put it all on us to say, it's your responsibility to come up with all these things. No, we're just to abide in Christ. And through that, we will mature as Christ has called us. Isn't that amazing? It's a process, but God has also offered to help us. We don't do it alone, do we? We do it with God's help. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that you've called us into maturing as believers. Lord, we confess, Lord, that at times we resort back to our carnal ways. Lord, we close our ears to hearing what your Spirit says. Lord, we care more about ourselves, our own feelings, our own desires, than we do about your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray you cleanse us from this sin. Lord, I pray that you put within us a heart that desires to mature and grow. A heart that desires to go forth and share the good news with that same compassion that Christ had. Lord, bless us, I pray. Thank you for allowing us to become like your Son, Jesus. Might we each be made into his image and reflect him every day of our life. We praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn. This is kind of a new one here, really. I don't think, it's not new to me, but I don't know that we've sang it a whole lot. 382, Be Thou My Vision. Let's stand together and sing. And we'll sing the first and last. Let's stand together. Include it more. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, thank you for this scripture today. And Lord, help us to truly walk as your Son walked. As we abide in him, Lord, we need your help to abide in your Son Jesus, even as he abides in us. And Lord, we just thank you that we have this mission that you've given us and this goal in our life. And I pray that we go forth and live as Jesus lived. Bless us, I pray, this week. Till we meet again, in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.